We'd like for you to turn with us to the book of Proverbs, 24th chapter. We'd like to begin reading at verse 30, down through verse 32. 24th chapter of Proverbs, verses 30 through 34. The writer said,
I went by the field of the slothful,
yes,
and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding.
Yes.
And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof.
Amen.
And the stone wall thereof was broken down.
Yes.
Then I considered it well.
I looked upon it and received instruction.
Yet
a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep.
So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Amen.
Now, dear ones, the thought that we have on our heart tonight that we want to consider, we want to talk about the effects of little things, the result of little things, what little things can produce and what little things can do. I was thinking about this, how oftentimes we're prone, dear ones, to look at certain things and we think, well, that's just a small thing. It's insignificant. It's unimportant. It's a little value. And we fail to really take time to consider that thing see what those little things can produce and what those little things can do. I'm thinking, dear ones, of the kindness and shrewdness of Satan, the enemy of all souls, and how he deals through little things. Oftentimes to cast down and snare and trap and destroy our eternal soul. I'm thinking how the devil worked with the people of God. Hardly if ever would Satan approach you or me, dear ones, and present to us the thought of going down and robbing Bank 4, going down and robbing First National Bank. Hardly with the enemy of heaven try to tempt us to commit mass murder. Hardly with the devil in heaven try to tempt us to lay a plot to assassinate the president. He knows that we would immediately recognize that this was from the enemy of our soul. We would resist it. We would oppose it. We would rebuke the enemy. We would not fall into a snare and trap like that. But listen, the devil will come to you and me with little things, and he'll conceal himself and cover himself under some little small thing. Seems like it's no harm to this. It's insignificant. It's unimportant. And if we're not watchful, if we're not careful, if we're not prayerful, the devil will snare our soul. The effects of little things. May God help us as we journey along the path of life. The writer said, I went by the field of the slothful, by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. Lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles, and nettles that covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. I thought about the stone wall being broken down up this vineyard. The stone wall was the wall of protection surrounded that vineyard to keep out things that shouldn't have been in. Maybe that would trample down the vines and destroy the vineyard. It was necessary. It was important for that wall to be there. But it said the stone wall was all broken down. It wasn't the result of some great storm coming through. It wasn't the result, dear one, of maybe a 6.0 earthquake coming along and tearing down the stone wall. It was a little slumber and a little sleep that brought about this stone wall falling down. No doubt the keeper of the vineyard observed from time to time. He looked upon that wall. Maybe he saw it began to settle. Maybe he saw cracks began to appear in that wall. And maybe he thought within his mind, I know I need to take care of that situation, but I'll put it off until tomorrow. And so he neglected. He procrastinated. He put it off. And there came a breach. There came a swelling. There came a breaking out. And the wall fell. The effects of little things. Seeing the little cracks that appeared in that wall and yet failing to take time to deal with those particular situations. Just a little slumber, just a little sleep. I want a little more rest. And so it was, dear ones, that eventually the wall crumbled and failed. It said concerning the vineyard, that thorns and nettles covered the face thereof. I'm thinking, dear ones, here, those thorns and those nettles, they began to grow up. They began to suck the nutrients from the ground that was so necessary for those vines to produce as they should. And as a result, those thorns and nettles choked out the vines. Again, dear one, it wasn't some great thing. It wasn't because the keeper of the vineyard didn't have sufficient funds to maybe hire help. It wasn't because he didn't have the proper equipment, because he didn't have the proper tools. It wasn't because he had had some serious accident. Maybe both arms were amputated, and as a result, he couldn't care for the vineyard. It was little things.
Yes.
It was a little slumber, a little sleep. A little folding of the hands to sleep brought this man to poverty.
Yeah.
It brought about the destruction of the vineyard. Oh, dear ones, tonight, as we look into the Word of God, we want to consider here how the enemy of all souls work. All right, let's consider now how this applies to you and me. Turn with us to the book of Isaiah, the 26th chapter. I'd like you to read verse 1, please. In that day,
shall this
song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. That song poet said, a wall of salvation upon every side. Strong bulwarks present to the foe. And in every conflict, though sorely he's tried, faith shield will ward off every blow. Listen, saints of God, we have a wall of salvation upon every side. God has hedged us in. I'm thinking about Job. Here the scripture said, the sons of God met together on a certain day, and Satan met with them also, and he began to commune with God. God said, have you considered my servant Job, a perfect and an upright man, one that fears God and eschews evil? Satan told him, you have a hedge around him. Take that hedge from around him. Take down the wall, and he'll curse you to your face. Listen, folks, God in his great love, in his tender mercy, he has walled us in, a wall of protection that Satan, the enemy of all souls, cannot get to us to cast down and destroy our eternal soul. But I'm thinking how the devil works. He'll cause us, if we're not careful, become a little slothful, become a little negligent. Oh, if we turn you along the path of life, we'll begin to maybe kind of not be as diligent about reading the Word of God. Getting God's Word, meditating upon God's truth. Not as diligent in our prayer life as we should be. Not as diligent in attending service as we should be. But all the Holy Ghost is faithful to your soul and my soul. And he'll begin to point out those things to us. He'll begin to put his hand upon that. You need to be more careful about reading and meditating upon the truth. You need to be stirred about your prayer life. You need to be more diligent about attending service. But all folks, listen, these are little cracks that began to appear in the walls of our salvation. And if we're not very careful, if we don't take care of those matters, sometime we begin to procrastinate. We neglect. We put it off. We'll acknowledge, yes, I know I need to pray more. I know I need to come to service more. And I plan to do it. But all we put off until tomorrow, what we should do today. And as a result, folks, if we're not very careful, they'll become a swelling and a breaking out. And the wall of our salvation is fall. We'll lose the grace of God out of our soul. The effects of little things. This is what we're talking about, dear ones. We're not talking about persecution like the saints underwent in the early morning time when they took the saints of God. They put them in the amphitheaters. They turned wild beasts loose on them to devour them and destroy them. We're not talking about being burned at the stake. We're not talking about being tarred and burned as torches in the imperial gardens of Rome. We're not talking about having our head chopped off. We're not talking about being crucified upside down like Peter was. We're talking about little things, folks.
Yes.
Oh, just a little nickname.
Yes.
Just a little procrastination.
Yes.
Just a little spiritual laziness.
Yes.
Will bring us to destruction.
Yes.
Oh, may God help us. Turn with us to Revelation, the 3rd chapter, beginning at the 14th verse, please. Yes.
Right. These things said to
me. Yes.
Thankful and quick.
the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God,
I know thy
works. Thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Thou sayest, I'm rich, increased with good, and have need of nothing. Knowest not, thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy me gold fried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. We're talking about the effects of little things, folks. Just a little pride in the life. This was a proud group of people. They said, we're rich. We're increased with goods. We don't need anything. But Jesus, looking down, he said they were miserable and poor and wretched and naked and blind. Just a little pride will cause out of destruction if we're not very careful, dear ones, esteeming ourselves, exalting ourselves, thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. The scripture said, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before fall. The effects of little things. Just a little pride will bring about our downfall. A little spiritual laziness. No real press in our soul. Dear ones, listen. If you and I would make it to heaven, we're going to have to press our way in. The scripture said the law and the prophets were till John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. We're going to have to press to deny ourselves, to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God as we journey along the path of life.
Amen.
The effects of little things. Folks, very seldom is it big things that cause the downfall of men and women. The enemy began to work with little things. And he'll cause those little things to snowball and to build up in your life and my life until it break down out of resistance. And then the enemy is able to come in and cast us down. May the Lord help us. The effects of little things. Turn with us to the book of Luke, the 4th, 8th chapter, reading verses 4 through 7. Luke 8, yes, verses 4 through 7.
And a bunch of people were gathered together.
Yes.
And were come to him out of every city.
Yes.
Saved by a parable.
Yes.
A sower went out to sow.
His seed.
And
as he sowed,
some
fell by the wayside. It was trodden down.
The fowls of the air devoured it.
Some fell upon a rock. As soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Some fell among thorns. And the thorns sprang up and choked it. I believe that's good. Thank you. Drop down to verse 14 and read verse 14.
That
which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, they go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life. We're talking about the effects of little things. You Lord, with the set of sower went forth to sow, and as he sowed, some of that seed fell by the wayside. Some fell upon stony places. Some fell among the thorns. And he mentioned the thorns as being the cares of this life, riches, pleasures, and I believe one scripture said the lust of other things. Dear ones, these are things that's robbing men and women and boys and girls of the grace and glory of God, causing them to lose their eternal soul as they journey along the path of life. I thought about Martha. Do you hear Jesus and the disciples had been invited to dinner at Martha and Mary's house. And here as Martha was going about, she was cumbered with much serving, and she came to Jesus, I believe the scripture said, but Mary sat at Jesus' feet. While Martha was cumbered with much serving, and she came to Jesus, she said, Master, carest thou not that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore to come and help me. Jesus said, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But Mary has chosen that better part which shall not be taken away from her. Listen, dear ones, we're living in a time and an age of busy cares of life where we can get so caught up, we can get so involved in things. Oh, listen, we can become a perfectionist. I just want this and that to be just so-so. Surely Martha wanted to be a good hostess. She wanted things to go well. Maybe she was concerned about keeping the water pitcher filled on the table, keeping the salad bowl filled, but neglecting her eternal soul. Listen, folks, we can get so caught up in the cares of this life, working two or three jobs, trying to make a living, and neglecting our eternal soul.
That's so true.
The cares of this life, the pleasures of this life, pursuing after, reaching out after pleasures. I'm not talking about sinful pleasures. Folks, there are some things that's legal and lawful, but yet you and I can get too caught up. We can get too involved. We can reach out too much for those things, and it'll drain us of the grace of God.
That's a truth, Lord.
Little things. The effects of little things. Oh, Martha was seeking to please others. Folks, we can get caught up with trying to please other people. The cares of this life. I want to do this and I want to do that. I want to please my companion, and that's natural. That's good that we should please them to a certain degree. But folks, we can get too caught up with pleasing other people, and it'll drain out our soul. Oh, may God help us as we journey along the path of life. Turn with us to the Song of Solomon. Second chapter, the 15th verse, please.
Take us the foxes.
The little foxes. That spoil the vine.
Our vine
shall tend the grapes. Folks, we're talking about the little things. Oh, it said the little foxes. It's what spoils the vine. It wasn't a herd of oxen that come through. It wasn't a herd of elephants that come through and trampled down the vines and tore down the vines. It was the little foxes that spoil the vine. Oh, what we would consider sometime little no-harm things. These little foxes, they're no doubt they're not big enough to do any damage. No doubt the keeper of the vineyard, maybe he saw the footprints of the little foxes. Maybe occasionally even saw a little fox in the vineyard. But he thought there's no harm to those little foxes. They can't do any damage to the vineyard. And so he just let it go. But all those little foxes, they would dig around the roots of the vine, see, and they would kill the vine. And here they would know the bark at the trunk of the vine and cause the vine to wither and die. Little things, folks. You and I can let little things get into our life that will destroy the life of Christ out of our soul. It'll cause us, I believe we heard the other day, about a withered life. It'll cause us to wither. It'll cause us to dry up. It'll cause the grace of God to leak out of our soul. We need to be watchful. We need to be careful. We need to be prayerful. We need to be concerned about the little things.
Yes, amen.
Oh, God help us as we journey along the way. Turn with us to the book of Numbers, the 7th chapter, verses 7 through 11. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the tender vine. Oh, I thought about maybe a little attitude that you and I may have. I thought about a little bitterness that we might let enter into our heart. Maybe a little stubbornness, maybe a little rebellion that we give place to. These are little foxes that'll spoil the vine, folks. We're not going out and committing murder. We're not committing adultery. We're not doing some of those bad things. But all those little things destroy the mind. They'll destroy our eternal soul. The effects of little things. Numbers, the 20th chapter, verses 7 through 11, please.
The Lord spake unto Moses,
saying,
Take the rod,
and gather thou the assembly together.
Yes.
Thou and Aaron thy brother.
Yes.
And speak ye unto the rock before their eyes.
Yes.
And it shall give forth its water. And thou shalt bring forth from them water out of the rock.
Yes.
So thou shalt give the congregation.
You shall give the congregation and their beasts to drink.
And Moses took the rod.
Moses took the rod.
And he commanded.
Yes.
And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock.
Yes.
And he said unto them.
Hear now, ye brethren. Must we fetch you water out of the rock?
And Moses lifted up his hand.
Yes.
And with his rod he smote the rock twice.
Yes.
And water came out abundantly.
Yes.
The congregation drank and their meat also.
Yes. Would you read one verse for me, please?
And the Lord spake unto Moses.
The Lord spake unto Moses.
Yes.
And Aaron.
Because you believe me not.
To sanctify me.
Yes.
Therefore ye shall not drink.
You shall not bring this congregation into the land of Canaan. We're talking about the effects of little things.
Yeah.
Oh, listen up. Little things can rob us of the spiritual blessings of God
as we
journey along the path of life. Here the Lord spoke to Moses. He said, take your rod. I want you to take the children of Israel. I want you to speak to the rock. And here Moses took the rod. And he and Aaron went. And instead of speaking to the rock, as God had instructed him to do, he smote the rock twice. He said, here ye rebels. Do I have to bring you water out of the rock? Listen, Moses was irritated with those people.
He was vexed
with those people.
Yeah.
He was annoyed by those people. Folks, we have to be careful.
Yeah.
A little vexation, a little irritation, a little annoyance. And I'll tell you, if we're not careful, folks can annoy you. They can irritate you. They can vex you.
Yeah.
Oh, we need to be careful. Every journey along the path of life, these are little things that will have an effect upon your soul and upon my soul if we're not very careful.
Yes.
A little unbelief. Because you all did not hear an error. Did not believe me to sanctify me before these people, you're not going to be able to carry them over into the land of Canaan.
Yes, sir.
Oh, that land that flowed with milk and honey, that land that no doubt Moses had so long desired to enter into. God had promised it to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all of his offspring. Now God had sent Moses down into the land of Egypt to bring the children of Israel out of captivity, out of bondage, lead them into a land of freedom, into a land of rich blessings. And no doubt this had rested upon Moses' heart. And deep down he had a longing and a real desire to get into that blessed land. But look at what happened. And it was just little things that caused Moses. Moses didn't commit murder. Moses didn't do some great thing, some great big thing. He became vexed with those people. He became annoyed with those people. He failed to sanctify God before those people. And it cost him from going into the land of Canaan.
Yes.
The Lord carried him up on Mount Pisgah. Let him get a view of that beautiful land. And what he could have had if he had only did what the Lord told him to do. Both you and I can rob ourselves.
Yes.
Rich blessings by letting little things
enter
into our heart and into our life and fail to take care of those matters. Oh, may God help us. Turn with us now to 1 Timothy, the 2nd chapter, reading verses 9 and 10. Yes? That's it. Women, adorn yourselves in modest apparel, with shame facedness and sobriety, not with crowded hair, gold, pearl, costly array, but which becometh women, professing godliness with good works. Now, I'm not so concerned and not fixing the deal with the dress of the sisters, but I want to use this scripture to bring out a point that the Lord has laid upon our heart. This is clear Bible teaching, dear ones, of the way that the women should adorn themselves. But I want to deal with the necktie. We're talking about a little thing. Now, how can we get anything out of a necktie here? It's this scripture, nor any scripture in the Bible that I know of, state anything specifically about a necktie.
But I want to bring out a point. We're talking about little things. Going back into the history of the early morning church, dear ones, I believe Brother Donald began to bring that out the other day. There was a certain individual. The saints didn't wear neckties, but here was a certain man. He was a banker, I believe, a bank president. He was a big man, and so he decided, he got saved, and he decided, I'm not going to pull off my necktie. I'm meeting the public, and I want to be presentable, and I'm not going to pull my necktie off. And as a result of that, folks, you know how people are. If someone else can do it, I can do it too, see? And because he wouldn't pull off his necktie, others began to put theirs on. And even some of the ministers began to put on the necktie. And it became a mouth stopper.
Yeah.
Oh, listen. This scripture that we read right here, clear and plain Bible teaching, women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with gold and pearl and costly array. The ministers began to preach against those things, worldly adornment and worldly dress, and the sisters began to come back on them. If you're requiring us to pull off our jewelry, if you're requiring us to pull off the worldly attire, pull off the necktie. They weren't willing to do it, folks. Oh, listen now. Don't you know there's a spirit behind that thing?
Yes.
Oh, I thought about how this has been, I don't know how it is now, but I know just a few years ago, going to the grocery store, and you'd have the carryouts. They had to wear a necktie. They could wear blue jeans and tennis shoes, but they had to have on a necktie. Oh, listen, folks. The airline companies, their employees, the dependents of their employees. If you're going to ride first class, you've got to wear a necktie. They require that of you, folks. There are company jobs. I'm thinking about one individual in particular. Here, this individual applied for a job. The company hired him. He was the very man that they wanted. They felt that he would benefit the company. But because he wouldn't wear a necktie, oh, listen, I'm talking about the effects of little things. The necktie became a mouth stopper that the ministry could no longer preach sound Bible doctrine and teaching. And listen, folks, when the devil got his foot in the door, he didn't stop there. He began to bring in musical instruments. The saints didn't use musical instruments in their worship. No place in the New Testament did we see where the church ever used musical instruments in worship. Get us back under the old Mosaic law. In the Old Testament, they used musical instruments because they did not have the Holy Spirit down in their heart. And so they used those musical instruments as a substitute for the Holy Ghost. But listen, Paul said, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melodies in your heart to the Lord. Listen, folks, we can make melody. We can make beautiful music. In our heart to the Lord, when our heart is pure, when our heart is spotless, when our heart is blameless, and the Holy Ghost is working with us, this is why the saints don't need you.
Yes, amen.
Oh, may God help us.
Amen.
The effects of little things.
Yes.
Oh, listen. The devil didn't stop with musical instruments. Folks, once the devil get a foothold, he's going to push his way all the way in. He's
true.
Not satisfied to just get his foot in the door.
No.
He brought in pulpit committees. Oh, listen, prior to this time, the Holy Ghost ruled and reigned among God's people. Oh, listen, there could be several ministers in one meeting, and the Holy Ghost knowing the needs of every soul that's there, knowing the vessel that he would choose to use, knowing the message that was up on his minister's heart, the Holy Ghost could put his hand upon that vessel that he chose to use, and that individual would be the one to bring the Word of God. But all these people began to reject the Spirit of the Lord. They began to take in pulpit committees. Those pulpit committees began to choose the speaker, the individual that would speak, what they would speak about, and when they would speak.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
The effects of little things.
Yeah.
Folks, the necktie opened up the door. And it opened up an avenue for all of these things to begin to come in.
Yes.
Oh, may God help us as we journey along the path of life. Not only that, but they began to abandon truth. They began to pull away from sound Bible teaching of holiness. They began to move away from sanctification. They began to move away from divine physical healing. All of this, the necktie opened the door for these things. Church segregation. Listen, prior to that time, the saints worshiped together, white and black, all nationalities. They worshiped together. But here the door was open now, and human wisdom began to come in. We can win more souls if we will separate, have a white congregation, have a white congregation. Folks, listen, the necktie opened the door. The effects of little things. May God help us as we journey along the path of life. All right. We of the evening light saints hold that old original standard. The very standard, dear ones, that the first church of Anderson Church have abandoned and gone away from. That's what the evening light saints still stand for. Is those same divine truths. All right. Turn with us to the book of James, the third chapter, beginning at the first verse.
My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold, also the ships, which, though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasted great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a whirl of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell.
We're talking about the effects of little things.
Oh, Lord.
The tongue is just a little member.
But
all the damage that the tongue can do,
the
damage that has been done down through the ages of time, by that little member, world wars have been started, lives have been destroyed and lost. Listen, the tongue can do a lot of damage.
Yes, amen.
That poet said the tongue can be an awful curse, but not a man can tame it. If you can think of something worse, I'm listening. You name it. St. James defines it as a fire. The fire of hell, remember, which kindles quite a bit of fire, affecting every member. With it is blessed the God above, with it is cursed his people. Through it is sung the songs of love that reach the church's steeple. Through it great sermons pierce the air, proclaiming God's salvation, and it's even used by those who dare to put their own damnation. The tongue has scattered cheer abroad, and it's filled the world with sorrow. It's used by people who defraud and cloud man's tomorrow. Mm-hmm. It often severs friend from friend, creating untold sadness. Heart through a quarrel brings an end, restoring health with that gladness. But it all begins within the heart that sets the tongue in motion.
Yeah.
But there is where the trouble starts, on where it is, devotion. Oh, that tongue is a little
member.
Yes,
folks,
it can do a lot of damage.
Yes.
All right, going a little bit farther to 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, beginning at verse 1, down through verse 7.
It is more incomplete that there is fornication.
Yes.
But
fornication
is not so much as named among the Gentiles.
Yes.
And while you have it, it's
life.
And ye are puffed up.
Ye are puffed up.
And have not rather mourned.
Have not rather mourned.
That
he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you.
For I verily, as absent his body,
yes,
present his spirit,
yes,
have judged already, and though I were present concerning them that have done this deed.
Yes.
In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we are gathered together, in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
To deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes. All right, you mentioned somewhere there, is that through verse 7?
Your glorying is not good.
Your glorying is not good.
Know ye not
that a little leaveneth the whole lump.
Purge out therefore
the old
leaven,
that you may be a new lump.
And you are unleavened.
Yes. We're talking about the effects of little things. You heard the statement that one rotten apple will swallow the whole barrel. Oh, listen, the writer said a little leaven, just a little corruption, just a little wickedness, just a little sin. It'll defile the whole thing, see? Oh, I'm thinking, dear ones, say for instance, a family, maybe you have 5 or 6 children, one of those children are bad and corrupt, and if we don't work with that child and deal with that child, you know what the result will be? It'll spoil the whole family.
Yes.
It'll spoil every child in the family. Oh, folks, it'll work that way in the congregation. You let a little corruption enter in, a little sin, you let a certain spirit enter into that congregation, and you fail to work with it and deal with it and lay judgment upon that spirit, and you know what will happen? Other people become affected by that spirit. Oh, a little death will let in the whole lump. It'll work that way in a community. It'll work that way in a city. It'll work that way in a nation, folks.
Yes.
Oh, may God help us.
All right.
Along the way. The effects of little things. Matthew, the 10th chapter, the 42nd verse. Someone a cup of cold water in the name of Messiah. But all the effects of little things, what it can produce, what it can do. Jesus said you will not lose your reward just to simply give someone a cup of water in the name of Messiah. I'm thinking how, dear one, sometime as we go about from day to day, maybe you go down to the store, and I'm thinking about how sometime the checkers and the different people that they have to deal with throughout the day, and sometime I guess people can make their lives pretty miserable. You can have a grouchy person come in, and maybe they get on the clerks, and it's not even their fault about what they're dealing with, and sometimes those people are downcast, they're feeling discouraged, they're feeling depressed, and here you come in, and you smile, and you speak to them, and oh, listen, it's you and their spirit.
Yes.
Have you ever heard that? Somebody told you sometime, oh, that new I was having such a time, and just a smile, just a kind word, it lift their spirit, it cheer that day, see, the effects of the may God help you and I as we journey along the way. We need to consider what little things can produce. May God help us in our prayers.